This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جل عن الشبيه والمثيل والكفء والنظير واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal, and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deliver the message of Islam to preserve humanity. This preservation and safeguarding is found in every injunction and everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded with, that we do as an obligation or we stay away from as a means of forbiddance. All of them to fulfill objectives. Preservations, the objectives of the Sharia that we spoke about in this masjid. The objectives of preservation of the deen, life, human life, rationality, wealth, and honor and property of a believer and also non-believer. The preservation of humanity at large. This preservation was also spoken about by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith very famously reported by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. And the hadith is in his 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi, where he says that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reported saying, كُنْتُ خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ يَا غُلَامِ إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتِ إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says that one day I was behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam riding on a mount. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh young man, I will teach you some words of advice. Be one who preserves, be mindful, be one who safeguards the duties of Allah, Allah will preserve you. Allah will safeguard you. Allah will preserve all of those objectives of the Sharia that we said for the good of humanity and the good of the individual. And he goes on to say, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. That if you ask anyone, then ask Allah alone. And if you seek anyone's help, then seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And know that if the nations and the people were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not benefit you with anything except what Allah had already written for you. And if they were to gather the whole of humanity, in another narration, if the all of humanity and all of the jinn, meaning any creation, came to try to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except with what already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already prescribed against you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. This amazing hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the work of Imam An-Nawawi, which is Al-Arba'una Hadithan Fi Mabadi Al-Islam Wa Qawa'id Al-Ahkam. The foundations of all of Islam is based on these hadith, these 40 hadith. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah dedicates an entire book to it called Nur Al-Iqtibas Fi Sharh Hadith Ibn Abbas, this hadith. And he spends dozens of pages on just the first sentence, this preservation. لما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك. I will teach you some words. Preserve Allah and Allah will preserve you. What does it mean to preserve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? What does that refer to, and what does it mean that Allah will preserve and safeguard us? The first portion of safeguarding and preservation comes directly with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. Whether it's a direct command as an obligation or a recommendation or made permissible, and everything that He forbade us from. in this way of life called Islam, Deenul Islam. And the Prophet has said in a hadith that's narrated by Abi Tha'lab al-Khushani, Rasulullah قال إن الله تعالى فرض فرائض فلا تضيعوها وحد حدودا فلا تعتدوها وحرم أشياء فلا تنتهكوها وسكت عن أشياء رحمة لكم غير نسيان فلا تبحثوا عنها. حديث حسن رواه الدارقطني وغيره. Abu Tha'lab al-Khushani said that the Prophet has said, what does it mean to preserve and safeguard the duties of Allah? Safeguard the limits of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ has said, Allah has indeed given you religious obligations, fara'id. So don't neglect them, number one. And He has set limits, so don't overstep them, number two. And He has forbidden some things, so don't violate them, number three. And He has remained silent about some things out of compassion and mercy for you. So, not out of forgetfulness. So don't seek to go after them what Allah was silent about. This defines for you everything that refers to Allah preserving the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His duties. Ibn Rajab says all of these include the term preserving the limits of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ in Surah At-Tawbah. And those who preserve the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, هَذَا مَا تُوْعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ مَنْ خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. You want an example of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this will be promised. The promise of paradise, the promise of a good life, the promise of solving your problems, the solving of your du'as and your calls to prayer and answers to them. All of this will be promised for everyone who is the one who preserves. Who preserves the limits of Allah, preserves the sanctity and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is constantly turning to Allah, whoever fears Allah in private, with a heart that constantly yearns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This teaches us that the best form of preservation is the preservation of the public and the private. Ibn Rajab says another form of preservation is the preservation of prayers, safeguarding our prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Safeguard, preserve your prayers, especially the middle prayers. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, that's Salatul Asr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Those who safeguard their prayers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the prayers, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُمْ جَنَّةً. That whoever safeguards and preserves these prayers, Allah promises and makes a covenant with them that He will enter them into paradise. Narrated by Imam Malik in his Muwatta. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the tahara, that it's miftahu salat, la yuhafidhu ala al-wudu illa mu'min. That no one preserves and safeguards staying in wudu constantly except a believer. And that is why if a person even uses the toilet or the restroom, it's recommended for them to actually make wudu, to be constantly in a state of tahara and purity. And this is an act of ibadah. Every moment that you're in wudu, you're rewarded by Allah. That's why, subhanAllah, somebody was, this normally happens. Are you ready to pray? Yeah, I have wudu. Do you have wudu? It's like, yeah, I have wudu. All, no matter what the situation is, the person remains in a state of wudu. Because they're ready for salah in any case. And they'll be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and safeguarded. Another form of safeguarding, Ibn Rajab mentions, is the safeguarding of ayman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ كَفَارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. That is the kafara, the expiation for breaking oaths when you have sworn. So keep your oaths, don't swear. لا تقول والله كذا والله ذهبت والله أتيت والله جلست والله أكلت. أخرج كلمة والله من فمك. Don't say والله I did this and والله I did that and والله I went and I ate food and I went on I-35 and والله. Take the word of Allah and والله out of your mouth. This is normalized in our cultures and it is not something that is appropriate. Why? Using the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla is in vain this way. Even if it's normalized in your culture, in your family, this should be removed. This is not appropriate. Su adab ma'a Allah Azza wa Jalla. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name deserves to be mentioned in the most righteous of ways in matters which deserve oath and swearing. Ihfaz ism Allah hatta fil lisan. Preserve the name of Allah even in your tongue. Even in your tongue. And that's why even the scholars, when they would have rings that had the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them, or you know, women that wear necklaces, what they would do is they would turn the ring and they would hide the name of Allah, or take it off and hide the name of Allah. When women are wearing necklaces with the name of Allah, ism Allah, they should put it in their garment so it doesn't show when they're using the toilet, etc. This is from the preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who have dalika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for those who preserve sha'airullah, the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Preserving Allah's sanctity in the heart as well as in practice. Ibn Rajab says, another way is safeguarding the head and the stomach. He says, being shy before Allah is truly deserving to be safeguarded in your mind and in what contains, and the stomach and in what contains. Whatever you input into your mind, this is a way of safeguarding and preserving the station of Allah in your mind. Don't accept anything to just come to your head. And don't, just like you shouldn't accept anything that comes into your stomach. Having a halal food intake has a direct relationship and correlationship with your dua being accepted. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed of this. That the one who their earning is not halal, and their eating is not halal, and the way they spend their wealth is not halal. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to them? Those of us who struggle with this, doesn't mean that, okay, I'm not going to make dua anymore, khalas, Allah is not going to respond to me. What it means is that we try our best. We do as much as we can. Say, Ya Rabb, أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You're the Lord of the heavens and the earth. أَعِنِّي عَلَى كَسْبِ مَالِ الْحَلَالِ. Help me in earning a halal wealth, and spending in halal, and eating halal. And he said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu a dua. He said, if you're having difficulty in your wealth and giving, you're paying back your loans, say the dua. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Aina nahnu min hadha dua. Oh Allah, aid me in doing every halal you made permissible. From seeking the haram, from seeking what's forbidden. Aid me in seeking everything permissible from seeking anything that you've made forbidden. And enrich me with your virtue, something you only give, from seeking it from anyone else. May Allah grant us that, Ya Rabbil Alameen. This, my brothers and sisters, I will emphasize, is a direct impact on your children, is a direct impact on your sanity, your quality of life, your happiness, your contentment in every single possible way. The more you create your life in what's permissible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sharia, the more you will find the blessing in it. He also says safeguarding the tongue and the private parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْحَافِظُونَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ. Men and women who guard their private parts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them a beautiful reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions with regards to this aspect of guarding our private parts. قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّونَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. O Prophet, tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their chastity. That is pure for them. Allah is all aware in what they do. Hijab was not revealed in Islam until 18 years. Out of 23 years of Nubuwah, فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الْحِجَابِ سَنَةَ خَمْسْ هِجْرِيًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed hijab after 18 years, 50 year hijrah. The first thing that was revealed is lower your gaze. That was the first thing revealed to believing men and women, to lower your gaze. And what is the result of doing so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says five ayat after this in Surah An-Nur, Allahu nuru samawati wal-ard. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. His light is like a niche in which there is a lamp. قَالَ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمُ وَالْقَاسِمِ أي مَثَلُ نُورِهِ فِي قَلْبِ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنَ الَّذِي امْتَثَلَ أَوَامِرَهُ وَاجْتَنَبَ نَوَاهِ. Meaning, the example of light in the heart of a believer who upholds whatever Allah has commanded and stays away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, will be illuminated and enlightened by clarity in their life. قَالَ يُورِثُ الْقَلْبِ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَذَّاتِهِ مَنْ غَضَّ بَصَرَهُ قَالَ مَنْ غَضَّ بَصَرَهُ مِنْ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدْ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. In a weak narration which is authentic in meaning. Whoever lowers their gaze from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, Allah will replace it for them with light of faith in their heart. They will taste and feel its sweetness. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, أَوْرَثَهُ اللَّهُ نُورًا فِي بَصِيرَتِهِ. Allah will bless you with light. You will be able to see clearly in the difficult matters in your life. And I'll give you an example. Imam al-Shafi came to visit Imam Malik in Medina, and he said, I want to recite hadith to you. So he said, go recite. He thought he was going to open the book like we do, open Muwatta Malik and start reading. Imam al-Shafi had memorized the Muwatta, over 1,000 hadith. He started reciting it from his mind. And Imam Malik was amazed by Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah jami'an. So he said to him, hasbuk, stop. Ya Muhammad, inni ara fika nuran, fala tughlim nur Allah bil ma'siyah, bi dhulm al ma'siyah. He says, O Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, I see in Allah, Allah has placed in you light. Don't extinguish the light of Allah with the darkness of sins. Preserve the light of Allah. One of the ways of preserving the light of Allah in your life, lower your gaze from the maharim of Allah. Things Allah made forbidden from you. When we ask ourselves, why isn't there clarity in my life? Why don't I have a clear direction when I make decisions? Because we need to lower our gaze from the things that are haram. Directly from these narrations. Directly from these narrations. That Allah will bless us with an illuminated understanding if we lower our gaze from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be the ones who preserve the limits and duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلِ قَوْلِ هَذَا اسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The second portion of the hadith, احفظ لا يحفظك, preserve and safeguard the duties of Allah, Allah will preserve and safeguard you. What does that mean? Allah says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ. Honor my contract, my covenant, I will honor yours. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. If you help and give victory to Allah, He will give victory to you. This safeguarding, Ibn Rajab says, is in two ways. Number one, he will benefit the person in their worldly life, like protecting their body, their children, and their wealth. And the second way is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the mind and the person from every form of harm they will ever face in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever is conscious of Allah in that preservation, Allah will give them a way out and provide from them in ways they never would have imagined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this way, Aisha explains, He will suffice them from the distress and worries of this world. And you have the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would make dua constantly for this kind of preservation, saying, Allahumma in qabatta nafsi farhamha wa in arsaltaha fahfadha bima tahfadu bihi ibadaka salihin. The dua in the Sahihain, O Allah, if you are to take my soul, give mercy to it. And if you are to grant it reprieve, safeguard it and preserve it, in which way you safeguard and preserve your righteous servants. One of the greatest scholars of our past, Yahya ibn Ismail ibn Salama, he said, I used to have an older sister who became confused. She lost her sanity and became unruly. She would stay in a room in the furthest part of the house and stayed there for 10 years. Then at midnight, one night, she woke up while we were sleeping. And somebody knocked at the door. I said, who is there? She replied, Kajja. I said, my sister? She replied, yes, your sister. So I opened the door and she entered the house for the first time in 10 years. And someone said, and she said, someone came to me in my dream and said, Allah has preserved your father Ismail because of your grandfather Salama. He has preserved you by virtue of your father. And if you wish, make dua to Allah, and what has afflicted you will leave you. Or you can be patient and paradise will be yours. Abu Bakr and Umar have interceded for you with Allah through the love of your father and grandfather had of both of them. So I said, meaning the brother, if it must be one of the two, I choose to have patience so that Jannah can be mine. However, if Allah is generous, He wishes to grant me both, then He can. So it was said to me, Allah has granted you both and is pleased with your father and grandfather because of their love of Abu Bakr and Umar. Stand and go down. And when she came down, this was a dream she saw. She hadn't spoken for 10 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured her after that as well. Because of what? 10 years of a acute terminal illness. But because of what? The righteousness of this family, Allah gave them cure. Allah preserved them. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The two orphans that their treasure was safeguarded for them. Why? Because their father was righteous. The scholars say, you know which father this was? This was the seventh generation father ago. Maybe you and I are being blessed in our lives because of the dua of our mothers and fathers, those who have passed, the dua of our grandmothers and grandparents, or the dua of one righteous person in the entire family. Maybe that's you. May Allah make us of them, Ya Rabbi Alameen. Allahumma izzil Islam wal Muslimin. Allahumma ansur ikhwan al mustadafina fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansur ikhwan al mustadafina fi Filastin, wa fi Suriya, wa fi Iraq, wa fi Hind, wa fi Afghanistan, wa fi Kashmir, wa fi Somalia, wa fi kulli makan, Ya Rabbi Alameen. Allahumma ansur ikhwan al mustadafina fi Yemen, wa fi kulli makan, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Allahumma arzuqna al jannat al firdaus al ala bi ghayri hisab wa la sabiq adab. Allahumma arham mawtana wa mawta al muslimin. Allahumma adkhilhum jannat al firdaus al ala bi ghayri hisab wa la sabiq adab. اللهم اشتد على قلوب أهلهم يا رب العالمين وارزقهم الصبر والسلوان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ادخلنا الجنة الفردوس الأعلى معهم بمرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الخلد وصلي اللهم وصلي مبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة